WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show. Streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Tuesday morning. And, you know, the last hour we were talking about some classic TV shows. We talked about it yesterday as well. This came up because we had an article at WBSM.com about, you know, famous classic TV shows that only had one surviving cast member. And other people are coming up with some other ones or looking at, you know, who's left of the cast of what shows. But while we're talking about this, I want to take this time to point out that MeTV is back in this area. So if you remember, MeTV was on before. I believe it was tied into Channel 10 because these stations exist as substations of an existing station. And it was here. It went away. It didn't. I mean, they changed over. They went with a different, instead of MeTV, they went with something else, which was, I forget the name of it, but it was more action-oriented shows, more dramas and things like that. Whereas MeTV is kind of a plethora of different types of shows from the good old days. Well, starting back on August 7th, MeTV returned to Southern New England so you can watch MASH, Adam 12, Gilligan's Island, Saved by the Bell, Bugs Bunny and Friends, The Flintstones, Tom and Jerry, and many more. You know what? In fact, I'm going to do this. I'm going to click on the link. It says you can see what the schedule is. I'm going to tell you what shows it's running right now. Oh, it's going to make me disable my ad blocker. Oh, come on. All right, give me a second. I'll do it. As much as I don't like to do it, I have to do it so that I can give you this information. See, because the ads get in the way when I'm trying to find you information. So right now they're running Adam 12, Alfred Hitchcock, All in the Family, Andy Griffith, Barnaby Jones, Beverly Hillbillies, Batman, Bonanza, The Big Valley, The Brady Bunch. I'm not going to go through all of these. Dick Van Dyke, Dragnet, Ed Sullivan, The Fugitive, Gunsmoke, Green Acres, Hogan's Heroes, The Invaders, one of the first shows about UFOs, In the Heat of the Night, Kolchak. Oh, God, I love Kolchak. I have them all saved in my DVR. Lost in Space, Leave It to Beaver, Mama's Family, Perry Mason, Mission Impossible, Matlock, Star Trek, Sven Gulli, which I would watch every Saturday night when I would get ready to leave for Spooky South Coast. All of these shows and more are back because MeTV is back in Southern New England. What it is it's channel 6.5 on your antenna. So I don't think it's available on cable. I haven't found it yet. I got to dig through some of the channels in the 1000s. I mean, I guess when I get home, I can just hit my voice remote and say MeTV. So I'll try to remember to check up on that for you. But I don't see anything in this WLNE story, the ABC6.com story about it being on cable. It just says it's available over antenna, channel 6.5. So you have to rescan your antenna to find that channel. So you have to go into your TV's menu, go to your channel settings, and then scan for channels. So if you have an antenna, that's how you would find 6.5 for MeTV. And if you need this information, you can just go to abc6.com. They have it all there. Or go to metv.com. And these shows are available in other methods, too. Not Sven Gulli, but you know, a lot of these sitcoms are available through other streams like Pluto TV, Amazon Freevee. Like, they're offering a lot of these classic programs. You know what I've been thinking about watching if I have time is I want to go back and watch some of the old Jay North, Dennis the Menace episodes. Because I used to watch that every day when I was a kid coming home from school. I used to record the Monkees every day off MeTV and watch them. Now they're on Access TV, so I still can watch them. These shows are comfort food for us. And like Mary said when she called earlier, you know, the shows aren't the same now. And I'm not one of those people that has to live in the past, but it's nice to be able to access the things of the past. It's nice to be able to watch them and show them to another generation instead of having them be gone forever. Many of these shows I watched growing up on, you know, Channel 56, Channel 38, Channel 25, or later on Nick at Night. I used to have trouble sleeping when I was a kid, and I would watch TV all night, and then I'd sneak down. When my parents went to bed, I'd sneak down, turn on the living room TV, and put it on Nick at Night and watch all the old sitcoms. Ann Southern, Make Room for Daddy, Mr. Ed. My parents had told me about Mr. Ed when I was a kid. Never had seen it when I was real little. They would talk about Mr. Ed, and I thought this was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard. A show about a talking horse? That sounds dumb. And then I finally got to see it on Nick at Night, and I was like, oh, I like this show. So if you miss all of those great classic programs and you don't have an antenna on your TV and you have cable, again, I'll try to find it. I don't know if it's on cable. I would think they would say it if it was. But it's not that hard to get an antenna and put it on your TV. In fact, they have antennas that will plug into your TV via the HDMI port. You just plug that into your television and then switch between your HDMI channels. So HDMI 1 will be your cable box. HDMI 2 can be your antenna. And then you can have it on 6.5 and watch MeTV. I have a Fire Stick that's on one of my HDMI spots. I have a PlayStation I never play anymore that's on one of my HDMI spots. I might pop one of those out and put in one of those antennas. In fact, I will tell you, if you're looking for an antenna that will certainly at least get this channel for you, it might not get you everything that you're looking for, but it should be able to pull this one in. If you go to Burlington in the Dartmouth Mall, when you're waiting to check out in the checkout line there, they have a bunch of HDMI antennas that you can use to pull in over-the-air broadcast. And they're $9.99. There's a couple of different kinds, but they're all $10. If you go to Best Buy, I'm sure they have something. Or Walmart, I'm sure they have something. But this will help you get those and also be able to get, you know, NBC, ABC, CBS. If you're looking to cut the cord and save some money. As I've said before, I haven't cut the cord yet. I really should because my cable bill is, you would think I'm insane for paying it. But I'm also super lazy. 508-996-0500. I remember when MeTV left the Providence station, I wrote an article about it, and it was one of the biggest articles of the year. People still care about these old TV shows because, like I said, it's comfort food. It's an old friend. It's a warm blanket. It's remembering what it was like to stay home from school when you were sick or stuck inside on a summer day when it's raining outside. Or on a winter's day when it's too cold to go outside. So again, 6.5 on your antenna, and you can get MeTV. I think some of those shows, you know, they're not something that is marketable anymore on their own. So if, like, if you were to put them on Netflix, you wouldn't get enough people watching them on Netflix to make it worth Netflix licensing them. But when you can kind of collect them all on MeTV and have it just be something people just turn on and leave on all day. I know people who watch Turner Classic Movies all the time. Like, their TV is just always on Turner Classic Movies. And they have no problem coming in and out of those movies. Because they've seen them a bunch of times, so to them it's, you know, like I said, comfort food. I've become one of those people, and I can thank streaming for this and cable for this. I have to watch every show from start to finish. I can't not watch an entire episode, and I can't watch episodes out of order. And I gotta, if I'm going to watch a show, I can't just jump in the middle and be like, I'll figure out what's going on. I've got to start at episode one and go all the way to the final episode. Which is why I've had a lot of trouble getting into Doctor Who. I like what I've seen, but I try to get into, like, this revival of it, that revival of it, but knowing that there's episodes going all the way back to the 60s, I'm like, I got to go back and watch all of those. And some of them are missing. At one point, I had downloaded a file, pirated, don't tell anybody, that had every Doctor Who episode going back to the first one in 1963. The first Doctor Who episode aired on the night that President Kennedy was shot. It aired on the BBC, November 22nd, 1963. And I downloaded every episode through, like, the 70s and started trying to watch it and just had too much to watch and never finished it. Now, I guess with BritBox or one of those streaming services, you can get them all. But I'm like, I've got to watch 40, 50, 60 years of a program. Because that's how my mind works. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails in the WBSM app. We started the program this morning talking about some of the big news stories of the day. And there's quite a few. One is that the city is continuing to pursue its appeal of having to pay the pension of former acting fire chief Paul Coderre. It's an appeal that started when he was still alive. And by all accounts in the Bristol County DA's report of what happened on the day that he was shot and killed by police in Fairhaven, it was what set him off. Finding out that they were appealing is what set him off. But the city is continuing to appeal, having to pay that pension to now his wife, his widow. And then also the story that New Bedford Light has this morning. New Bedford City Council President, although not in that role, Naomi Carney, is suing the Bristol County Sheriff's Office and Sheriff Paul Heroux for employment discrimination after her job was eliminated back in February of 2023. She claims it is because of her age, gender, race, and as retaliation for complaining about how she was being treated. Sheriff Heroux has responded to that by saying it was getting rid of redundant positions. She applied for other positions in the sheriff's office. It didn't work out. She's saying, yeah, there's a reason for that. So I would recommend reading Arthur Hirsch's piece at newbedfordlight.org. It's far more in-depth than we can get into here on the radio. But one thing that I don't see in Arthur's story, and it could be that I just, you know, read it too quickly this morning, but I don't see any mention of anyone else suing. Out of the... Give me a second here. Burr, burr, burr. 22 positions that were eliminated. So, I don't know. To me, it sounds like Sheriff Rowe is just following through on his campaign promise of trimming down the fat. Not that I'm calling Naomi Carney and her position fat, but, you know, he wanted to take a look at the money that was being spent on some of these salaries and the positions and see if there was a way to pare down the staff. And then use that money to hire in the areas and the programs that he wanted to put into place. And now he has two people that were already working in the Bristol County Sheriff's Office handling the duties that Naomi Carney handled before. Another big story today, and actually Barry had this yesterday at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, the weapons detectors will be in place by the time the school year starts at New Bedford High School in a couple of weeks. These AI-powered weapons detectors so that the kids just walk through them. They don't have to stop. They don't have to be wanded. They don't have to be frisked or anything. They just walk through these detectors, and these detectors can flag anything that comes up as a weapon. $700,000 was spent. Some people say money well spent, worth every penny. Others are saying it's a waste because they don't do enough. But interested to get your thoughts. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails in the WBSM app. Right now, though, I'm going to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. We'll take some calls coming up after the news. You can also send in your app chat messages if you'd like to do that as well. And, of course, a reminder that we will have all of your Patriots action here on WBSM this year, not only in the regular season, but we've got all the preseason games this year as well. So if you are, you know, anxiously awaiting what will go on with the Patriots, who will be the starting quarterback, it's probably going to be Jacoby Brissett. But will Joe Milton stick around? Will Bailey Zappe stick around? All of these questions and more will be answered during the preseason. And the next game is Thursday at 7 p.m. It's going to be a 4 p.m. pregame here on WBSM as the Patriots take on the Philadelphia Eagles. And you can hear that right here on 1420 a.m. at 99.5 FM. And if you want to hear our other programming, if you want to hear Howie Carr and Mark Levin and all that, you can just go to the WBSM.com stream or on the WBSM app. You can hear our regular programming. So it's the best of both worlds. Whatever you want to listen to, we have the way for you to listen to it. So the game is on the radio, regular programming on the stream. Right now, though, it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the big stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Donald Trump and Elon Musk have a long chat on X, a warning for protesters visiting the Democratic National Convention, and cigarettes have never been less popular.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Despite some technical issues, Elon Musk's conversation with former President Trump on X went on for over 2 hours on Monday.
Like, we're having a great conversation right now. Kamala wouldn't have this conversation. She can't because she's not smart. No. You know, she's not a smart person, by the way.
Supposed to start at 8 p.m., the conversation didn't take place for about another hour due to what Musk claimed was a, quote, distributed denial of service attack on the platform. Following the hiccup, the two discussed things such as the attempted assassination of Trump in Pennsylvania, immigration, Russian President Vladimir Putin, and the threat of global warming. At one point in the discussion, over 1.3 million people were listening live. Organizers for next week's Democratic National Convention in Chicago hope it doesn't bring back memories of the 1968 convention in the Windy City. Pro-Palestinian organizations anticipate several thousand protesters to come to Chicago for the march on the DNC over the Biden administration's handling of the Israel-Hamas conflict. At the 1968 Democratic National Convention, riots broke out in Chicago as demonstrators protested against U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War. Chicago's top cop warning those planning to protest,
"We're not going to allow you to riot. Protesting and rioting are two different things.
Larry Snelling stressed that his department will be ready for whatever happens. The DNC runs August 19th through the 22nd. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has 3 days to appeal a New York judge's ruling that keeps the independent presidential candidate off the state's ballots this fall. The judge ruled that Kennedy used a sham New York address on state election forms to maintain state residency. The address is actually owned by a friend of RFK Jr. The Oklahoma Supreme Court is ruling that an online religious school isn't legal. The court terminated the Oklahoma Charter School Board's contract with St. Isidore of Seville Catholic Virtual School. If the contract had been upheld, St. Isidore would have become the nation's first public religious school. And no buts about it, cigarette smoking is at record lows in the U.S., Rory O'Neill reports.
Only 11% of Americans admit to lighting up a cigarette in the past week. That matches the historic low in 80 years of polling by Gallup. When first asking the question in 1944, 41% of American adults said they smoked. The big drop-off has been measured among young adults. Under 30, only 6% of them smoke, but 18% use e-cigarettes. I'm Rory O'Neill.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox snapped their losing streak following a 5-4 walk-off win in extras from Fenway Park. Another game with the Texas Rangers tonight. They'll do it without outfielder Jarren Duran, who's suspended for 2 games after shouting a gay slur at a heckling fan on Sunday. Preseason continues for the Patriots on Thursday. They play the Philadelphia Eagles at Gillette.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Absolutely gorgeous, low humidity, plenty of sunshine this morning, and temperatures on the cooler side around 60. Sunny and upper 70s as we head into the afternoon, low 60s, mostly clear skies overnight. Sunny and beautiful once again for tomorrow around 80. On Thursday, clouds increase as the day progresses. At late afternoon, potential for a round of showers and a thunderstorm or two cannot be ruled out. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
And that is Avril Lavigne, and I made sure I potted it down before I got to the word that I can't let go out over the radio. Should have looked for the radio edit. But yes, that is Avril Lavigne, and she is performing at the Xfinity Center in Mansfield on August 24th. It's a Saturday night, and we've got tickets for you to go out and see the show. All you have to do is enter to win at WBSM.com, and on the WBSM app, when you go to the website, you'll see it. Up at the top, it says Win Avril Tickets. It's also up in the upper right-hand corner. It's also in the drop-down menu under contests. And if you go to the app, you just hit the menu button on the side, scroll down, and you'll see, you know, contests there, and you'll be able to enter to win. You just put in your information, and then if you are one of the lucky winners, and we have multiple pairs of tickets to give away, so if you are one of the lucky winners, Casey will send you an email, tell you you're a winner. And then you just sign something virtually for her, digitally, send it back, and then she sends you the tickets virtually. You don't have to come down to the station. You don't have to make a plan to be here during whatever business hours we may have. You can just get them sent to you directly, and then you can either go to the show or you can transfer the tickets to someone else if you want to. So maybe you're not an Avril Lavigne fan, but your daughter is or your granddaughter is. Well, you can win them and gift them to them. And then you look like the coolest member of the family. So again, all you got to do is enter at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app. Tim's tickets all summer long and into the fall. Brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven, the home of the Rackhouse Club, where if you are a fan of bourbons and whiskeys, ryes,
you want to join the Rackhouse Club, for one low membership price every month, you'll get a bag every month with something special, and that's equal to what your membership costs, but also all kinds of other perks and discounts and special events and special trips and all kinds of things planned. So you can find out more by stopping by Stevie's, or make sure you follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Stevie's Wine and Spirits. You never know when they're going to have a great pop-up event that you can go and taste something at. 508-996-0500. That is my number. So what do you think about this idea of these weapons detectors being installed at New Bedford High School? Is it enough? There are some folks in the comments under this story on the Facebook page, the WBSM Facebook page, that feel like because these things aren't 100% effective, that it's quote-unquote wasted money. But I wouldn't agree. I think anything that helps limit the potential of weapons being brought into school is a positive. And if they're 70% effective now, and I'm just picking that number, that effectiveness can grow over time because they're AI-powered. So the technology behind it will learn and is upgradable. So the equipment will stay the same, but they can upgrade the software, the programming, to help it become even more effective. And isn't 70% of weapons being brought into school getting caught worth the effort? So I don't agree with the people who feel like this is, you know, not enough. I certainly don't want kids to have to go through, you know, an old school metal detector, be wanded, empty out their bags, be searched. I don't want kids to have to go through all that just to get into school. This is an effective and non-invasive way to ensure safety in the schools. Like I said earlier, I just passed through one of these things going to Fenway Park last week. You just walk right through, it scans, it will detect if there's anything on you that's a weapon, and then alert somebody if there is. But you don't have to stop and empty your pockets and go through all that stuff. And it's the future of security at venues. It's what venues like Fenway Park are using. They have something similar at the Xfinity Center. And you know what? You don't get that big backup of people waiting to get in anymore. I mean, still, they'll always be like the backup of people trying to get in, like when doors open. But it's not slowed down by the fact that everybody has to be searched and wanded and empty their pockets and all of that. So I'm for this. I think it's a positive move. I think you'll see other school departments getting something similar. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, at some point it extends out to other schools, that maybe they put it in the middle schools. And like I said earlier, it's not just about the kids coming in. It's about the adults that come in. It's about people that come into school after school. It's about people that come to sports games and drama club performances and choral concerts. And now the auditorium is being used as a substitute for the Zeiterion Theater during the Zeiterion renovations. It's a smart move. And it's one where not only can you feel safer about your kids going to school, having passed through that weapons detector, but the kids can feel safer being there. What do you think? 508-996-0500. You can also send me an app chat message if you'd like to. But this is going to be something I think you'll see at least urban schools putting in. You know, the suburban schools might not have the student population where this is the best and most effective measure. They might be able to take other security measures if they'd like to. I know when I went to high school and I had 125 kids in my graduating class and we had, 500 kids in the whole school, we probably could have gone through an old school metal detector and been wanted, and it wouldn't have really slowed things down too much. Especially whereas back in those days, we had multiple entrances. Some kids came in one door, some kids went in the other door. The kids that drove came in the back door. And those doors were open. You didn't have to be buzzed in. They were open all day. Again, this was pre-Columbine, so it was a little bit of a different scenario. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. I got an app chat message from Melissa in Acushnet who says, "Hey, Tim, not to change the topic, but do you know what's going on with Jason Hawes and the Conjuring House?" Yeah, I tried to stay ahead of this by offering some comments when the Channel 12 news stories came out. Channel 12 has done two different news stories on it now. Just because I'm kind of uncomfortable talking about some of it because I know people involved and I have a feeling this is going to turn into some legal situations and I don't want to get involved in that side of things. But basically, there were some employees who quit because they felt that the owner of the Conjuring House, who purchased it a few years ago, was not treating them properly, was not caring for the location properly, and they had different issues with her. Then she fired her general manager, who had quit his previous job to work there full time. She didn't pay him, according to him, for quite a while, owes him $9,000 in back pay, he says. And she fired him because the spirit of John Arnold, the original owner of the house, told her that this guy was stealing from her. And she's had some very concerning and strange postings to the official Conjuring House Facebook page. Some of those included accusing Jason Hawes, who, if you don't know, is the star of TV's Ghost Hunters, but also the father of Satori Hawes, who was one of the people who quit, who worked at the house and who had a disagreement with the owner over being reimbursed for items that were in the garage that caught on fire last spring. And she's accused Jason Hawes of being an assassin who showed up on the property to try to kill her and puts a security footage up saying that that was him. And he put out a video responding saying that wasn't me. And the person who it was came forward and said that it was them. It was somebody who was actually staying at the house. And he shared the text messages that they've had going back and forth. And, he's got to do what he's got to do because he's being accused of something, being accused of a crime. So he's got to defend himself. And of course, he's going to defend his daughter. But the downside of this is the owner of the Conjuring House can put what she wants on her business Facebook page and, make whatever accusation she wants and she'll face any consequences for that, what have you. But people have decided to just keep going on to her posts and bullying her, essentially. And I get it. You feel she's in the wrong. To me, it feels more like, mental illness, and you shouldn't be piling on that. But I put out a Facebook post last night kind of on the topic where I said, "If you continue posting negative things on the page of someone who is obviously in the midst of a mental health crisis, no matter how funny or clever you may think you are or how much you think they deserve it, you're only making things worse. What's the real reason? My guess is either because you think it brings you attention or perceived clout, or worse, because it makes you feel better about yourself to crap on someone in their worst moments. Some people have a right to defend themselves against claims made against them. Let them be the ones to do that. They don't need your help. If this situation ends badly, as so many fear it might, you don't want to end up feeling like you pushed it in that direction. So I just feel like people are using this as a way to get attention for themselves. And you shouldn't use someone else's obvious struggles here to get yourself likes and follows. I'm going to take a break here, my final break, and we'll wrap things up with some phone calls if we got time. We will be right back. All right, let's wrap things up with a phone call. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, how's it going, brother?
Good, how you doing?
Pretty good, hanging in there. So I've been listening on and off this morning. Excellent show as always.
Thank you.
So I'm hearing that the city council president is involved in a lawsuit.
Yeah, and New Bedford Light has the story. She's suing the sheriff on the sheriff's office.
So can you just give me a sec? Yeah, no, everything's good. Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
It's kind of hypocritical. I haven't really heard the comments if anybody's called in about it yet. It's kind of hypocritical because maybe my memory's wrong, but I could have sworn she used age as an excuse to let go of an individual for a certain, what was it called, an appointment for the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find it extremely hypocritical that now all of a sudden she's suing for the same reason that she gave for letting go another individual for her age. So it's kind of like maybe karma a little bit, or, you know, I'm not saying that she doesn't have a case or not. She might. But I just find it a little hypocritical. That's all, you know.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons. She says not only is it age, but also gender, race, and as retaliation for complaining about how she was treated by the sheriff.
I'll tell you what, if that's in fact accurate, I mean, obviously that's horrendous and should be dealt with quickly, and he should lose his job, to be honest with you, if any of that's accurate. But obviously we need to give him a chance to be able to defend himself and show us the proof that he has or whatnot. So I say we have to be patient in that regard. But I kind of found it LOL, you know, just seeing the hypocrisy a little bit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you can check out the story at newbedfordlight.org. Arthur has the complete story, Arthur Hirsch, with some of the sheriff's response to the claims.
I will.
All right. You have a good day.
Thank you, sir.
And again, yes, if anybody wants to read that story, and if you're not familiar with what we're talking about, City Council President Naomi Carney, although not in that position, in her position as a former employee of the Bristol County Sheriff's Office, has filed the lawsuit against the Sheriff's Office and Sheriff Paul Hureau, claiming that she lost her job with the agency because of her age, gender, race, and as retaliation for complaining about how she was being treated. So you can read more about that and Sheriff Hureau's response at newbedfordlight.org in Arthur Hirsch's excellent piece. Also, don't forget, too, we have the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app that the city is still pursuing its appeal of the civil service.